Ko tēnei te wā mo te pūrongo tai whinua with Sally Murphy with our rural news. Kia ora, Sally. And gosh, these farmers have had a rough time. How are flood hit Te Tai Potini West Coast farmers getting on?
Well, kia ora, Marnie. Farmers, they've had a couple of days to take stock of the situation and assess their damage, and now they're getting into the clean-up. Federated Farmers West Coast President Bede O'Connor says about 30 farms have suffered damage. 10 of those have been particularly hard hit.
We're quite fortunate. We've been able to see most farms, and there's silt damage, but there's also fence damage. But more importantly, the local farmers have already been onto a number of farms supporting fellow farmers, and we've already made progress on at least 4 or 5 of the farms, repair work and things like that. So it's been really good.
Mr. O'Connor says pastures have been left sodden, but shingle from the rivers has not spilt onto land. He says the farmer who lost a herd of cows when the Buller River flooded at the weekend is receiving a lot of support.
The loss of stock was tragic, but his farm has survived fairly well. It's mainly light silting and a wee bit of fencing, and they are making progress repairing that, and they're being supported at the same time.
Bede O'Connor says feed supplies will be tight for the rest of the winter, and it's likely farmers will need to buy more in. A Hawke's Bay ecologist says recent flood events are more traumatic than they need to be. Dr. Amelia McQueen says 10 to 15 years ago, when farming developments, particularly in Canterbury, were getting extremely close to active river channels, some people were asking how sensible that was. She says braided rivers can't and shouldn't be tamed, but money spoke louder than sense or ecology, and we're feeling that now. Dr. McQueen says New Zealand needs to take a step back and question how close farms really should be to river networks.
It is something that I think needs to be on the table. It's obviously something that the government's going to have to be involved with as well. If you think about the fact that at the moment there is flood damage, taxpayers are having to pay for the recovery of that.
Farming people, orchardists, would say it's productive land for them.
Yes, and I understand that, but you could also turn that around the other way, particularly with braided rivers, and point out that that is marginal developed land, particularly for if you're going to do dairy, gravelly land drains. So they're having to pump an awful lot of water to get grass to grow on it, and also fertiliser as well. So really, I think there's another question that we need to ask around that is, does it become good fertile land when you've got all of these costs involved in fixing it up when a flood goes through?
Amelia McQueen says there are good aerial photographs online highlighting where floods are covering old river channels. Efforts to eradicate the cattle disease M. bovis from the country are on track. The disease, which can cause lameness and mastitis in cows, was first detected on a South Canterbury farm in July 2017. In 2018, the government committed $880 million over 10 years to eliminate the disease. A new independent report prepared for the Ministry for Primary Industries shows with only 3 active infected properties, the program is going according to plan. Director of the M. bovis Eradication Program, Stuart Anderson, says once they're cleared, efforts will move on to surveillance.
What we do need to do, though, to be confident ultimately eradication, is we do need to have a period of a few years of screening across all the dairy beef farms in the country, and having at least a couple of years of not finding anything to be absolutely confident that it's all been found and eradicated. Yeah, we're anticipating sometime in the next 12 to 18 months that we'll move into that surveillance state. What we do need to do is get through spring this year, which is a time when if there's infection out there, we're more likely to pick it up with spring milking, calving and milking. So we'll get through spring and see how that lands us with numbers. We might well find a few more, but again, it should be over a trend of progressively fewer and fewer properties.
Stuart Anderson says improved stock movement reporting has helped control the disease. The report made 14 recommendations, including creating a detailed plan to move from eliminating the disease to surveillance and undertaking a risk assessment of animal movements between the non-dairy and dairy sectors. Whanganui looks set to become the next developing kiwifruit region. A kiwifruit post-harvest operator and grower, Arpita, is on the hunt for land to plant green and red kiwifruit there. Its chief executive, Stuart Weston, says they've recently bought 60 hectares for new plantings, adding to the 70 that have been growing there for decades. And he says they're now pushing to get about 200 more hectares over the next season or two.
That we think would be a very nice critical mass size to support a management and infrastructure down there to make it a really viable industry. Beautiful free-draining volcanic soils, plentiful water supply. There's quite a complementary seasonal labour peak with the associated freezing works down there. What we are finding in the Bay of Plenty is we're running out of land, good land to develop, and starting to push into some more marginal areas. Yet, the whole time, we've had this long association with Whanganui, and as we've looked closer at it, we've been very impressed with what we've seen.
Stuart Weston says they want properties very close to Whanganui City and would either buy the land or help existing owners change land use.
And we're agnostic either way. That doesn't really concern us. We do have a lot of investors who are looking to invest in orchard developments. However, the form it's taken in Whanganui up until now, it's actually been the locals that have retained the ownership of it. And we've just continued to partner with the locals down there.
Stuart Weston says once grown, the fruit will be trucked to the Bay of Plenty for packing. And that wraps up the rural news for today. We'll be back again tomorrow morning during Morning Report.